It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Monday. It's a Falcon Monday. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. We've been talking about this game all day and we'll continue. By the way, coming up at 5 o'clock, an hour from now, you will get a chance to hear more from our Falcons. Kirk Cousins had an amazing day yesterday, and we're done early today because of the coaches show. So we'll hear from Kirk Cousins and Jesse Bates in the 5 o'clock hour. Mike, before we get to our man Connor Riley, the thing that jumps out, guys, and again, this is the most important thing about yesterday. The win was great. All the stats are terrific. We are 4-0 in this division. And you have one more game left for the Saints, one more game left for the Carolina Panthers. Carolinas, they're over. You beat the Saints, right? You basically have punched your ticket to win this division and, Mike, host a playoff game. That's what we're talking about.
And we got, you know, there's two games head-to-head with Tampa Bay. If they continue to, you know, they got to go find some more receivers, although they did a nice job using the other guys against us on Sunday and kept certainly close, nearly won it. But, yeah, man, great game. Talked about Pitts, you know, the mental lapse of not, you know, securing the football across the goal line aside. Pitts had two. Bijan looked great. I said to Carl earlier, I thought it was, you know, Jesse Bates. We're used to Jesse being Mr. Turnover, but I thought A.J. Terrell's best game as a Falcon so far.
All right, more on the Falcons coming up. Stay right there. Right now, let's talk some dogs. Connor Riley, let's first get an injury update as we head into the cocktail party this week. Georgia, Florida, you guys know there's nothing bigger, regardless of what Florida might look like. I take nothing for granted, and I'm going to tell you they've been playing a lot better. But give us an update on what's going on with Tate Ratledge and company. What's the injury update look like heading into this week?
Yeah, so Tate Ratledge has missed the last four games with ankle and knee injuries, but Georgia fans saw him dress out against Texas. That's a step in the right direction. And as he continues to recover and rehab, I think there's a belief that he might be able to give it a go this weekend. We'll see how close to 100% he is. But they know that Tate wants to be out there, and I think that would be a tremendous boost to this Georgia offensive line just because it allows them to lean more on their depth and rate Tate more and help an offensive line that really, since Ratledge went down with that injury against Kentucky, has just not been the same offensive line that we thought we were going to get. So if you're able to get a fully healthy or at least a close to fully healthy offensive line, I think that's going to potentially open some things up for this Georgia offense, which has just not been as advertised so far during this 2024 season.
Do you think that there's any change in the approach from Mike Bobo after the game against Texas? Just, I mean, how do you get Carson back to not turn the ball over, basically, is the question.
It's the great question, Mike, because, again, this was something he did a great job of a year ago, only six interceptions all of last season. And through the first seven games this year, he's got eight. Not all of those are on Carson. And I do think, to an extent, he's probably pressing a lot and putting a lot on his shoulders. But Carson has to do a better job of taking care of the football, especially if the Georgia defense is going to play as it did against Texas, as it did against Clemson earlier in the season, as I think it's going to against Florida and a freshman quarterback this coming week. Georgia's defense is good enough to where, so as long as you don't consistently hand them short fields, they're going to be able to make things very difficult for the opposing defense and the opposing offense. So we hear so much to talk about playing complementary offense. That's where this Georgia group is right now. They need to find a way to set up this defense for further success rather than, I think, lean on the offense like we all thought they would in the 2024 season.
Connor, let's talk a little bit about the SEC and maybe what we learned this last weekend. Dogs were idle, right? They were just chilling. Texas survived at Vandy, which tells me Vandy is much better than everybody thought, right? They beat Alabama. They're at home. Texas wins by 3 points. I don't think people expected that. The A&M-LSU game. A&M is now the only undefeated team in the SEC. And then you talk about Alabama beating the snot out of Mizzou 34-0 when you thought maybe Bama, all right, they're not that good. They're not as good as we thought. I mean, every time I turn around, I feel like I'm learning something in the SEC. And then Arkansas, here's what's crazy. They beat Miss State. But understand this. Arkansas can play a major role in what happens as to how this looks at the end of the season. They still have Ole Miss, Texas, and Mizzou on their schedule. I just feel like, you know, there's still so much we don't know, and that's why these next 4 or 5 weeks are going to be crazy.
And that's part of the reason why it's so foolish right now to try and game out how things are going to look. Look, college football in general, it's just the smallest sample size anyway in terms of sports, in terms of games played. And when you have these bloated conferences that in the SEC's case have over 16 teams, you're not going to play everybody. And so you're not working with necessarily the same data points. You know, Georgia, they don't play Texas A&M this year. They don't play LSU. They don't play Oklahoma. So you don't really know how they stack up to the rest of the league. You can only really judge them on the teams they play. And even then, you know, certain schedules are imbalanced, you know, and different leagues, obviously, Like, Miami's probably not going to play a ranked team all season. Georgia will have played three ranked teams on the road alone. And so you have to take it week by week and say, okay, this is what this team has shown lately, and sort of say, okay, you've got your ceiling, you've got your floor. How can Georgia find a way to play within that and play more consistently? And some teams in this league have done that. I think A&M, to their credit, the best thing that they've done, in addition to sort of balancing a weird quarterback situation, is just being a consistent team week in, week out, no matter who is across the field from them. And that's the reason why they're right now in the driver's seat when it comes to the SEC and the last unbeaten team in this league.
Mike Elko really made some noise, too, after the game, saying, and folks immediately thought he was talking about Jimbo Fisher, saying, this is a real program. It's not fake. It's not a politician running this program, talking fast and BSing anybody. And then it was like, well,
Mike, he was talking about Jimbo.
Yeah. Well, could we talk about Brian Kelly, too? Because, Brian Kelly could. And then, Lane Kiffin kind of fits that description, too.
That's true.
That was just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Any other names you want to throw in there, Connor? Because he then went back and said it had nothing to do with Jimbo or Brian Kelly.
It speaks to the genius of the statement, where it seems to fit so many different people, and you don't know who Elko is really talking about there. Elko worked with Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. He worked with Brian Kelly at Notre Dame there. So there is some history there between those guys. But I think it just maybe speaks to a more generic idea that A&M is trying to sell, and that Elko understands for so long the perception around this program has been that it is more sizzle than steak itself. And you look at the way that they're winning football games this year, it's by running the football. It's by being good on the lines of scrimmage. It's by having, I think, a really stout defense that does things the right way. There was so much talk, especially, I think, with that 2022 recruiting class, which I think we can all say was now bought by NIL money, and it really didn't come together on paper. And Elko understands you can't do things that way anymore. You can't take those sorts of shortcuts. And he understands that. I think Saturday's game was proof of what they're trying to build there. And, well, I think it's an indictment of Brian Kelly in the way that that LSU team just sort of imploded on itself. I do think that Elko shows an understanding of, hey, there's a certain way that you have to build a winner. Kirby Smart has done that at the University of Georgia, and I think Elko understands that blueprint. And Saturday was a result in that direction.
Yeah, A&M doesn't win these games. They just never have. Mm-hmm. And so I was waiting for them to implode, and Kelly, it was him and the LSU Tigers imploding. It's Dukes and Bell. Connor Riley joining us from Dog Nation. How important is Mykael Williams to what's going to happen in this game against Florida?
Against Florida, not hugely important. Georgia should be able to win even with Mykael Williams not 100%. He's
right.
Not there yet, but he continues to get healthier. But I think from the larger standpoint, if you're able to get as close to healthy as Mykael Williams and as close to healthy as Jalen Walker as you have, it's going to afford you a massive margin of error in terms of what you're going to be able to do, in terms of how you're going to be able to play, because I don't know that there's any team out there that has two offensive tackles that can stand up in pass protection against those guys. Because Texas has really talented offensive tackles, guys that are going to play in the NFL, and they just got whooped for four quarters. And so if you're Georgia and you're able to play Mykael Williams and you're able to have Jalen Walker at the same time, that just makes it really tough for opposing defenses, because they're both really stout against the run, and we've seen them further develop as pass rushers. And so, you know, I don't want to say if they have both those guys that they're going to be able to win a national championship, but it is as close to that as I feel comfortable saying with two players on the defensive side of the ball, with how dominant both those guys continue to be.
Do you believe that Tennessee has got things figured out with their quarterback? Do you get the confidence back? And is Tennessee still the biggest challenge for Georgia down the stretch? Or is it Ole Miss because you're on the road?
I think it's Ole Miss because they're on the road. And look, with Nico Iamaliva, we've seen enough now where there's enough of a sample size. And obviously, he can continue to get better. They were off this past week. But some of the struggles he had on the road at Arkansas, look, I know Georgia fans are going to be really excited for that game against Tennessee. They haven't announced a game time for it yet, but if I had to bet, that's going to be probably a 7:30 kickoff, a late night kickoff. And we've seen the impact that those types of atmospheres have had on games.
Yeah.
I think this Georgia crowd is going to be very much looking forward to their first one of those this season. And that's going to be a lot for Nico to come in and play against. And I'll just say this, not even independent of Nico, but when Kirby Smart has gone against Josh Heupel in recent years, that offense has just had no answers for what Kirby Smart wants to do defensively. And until I see Tennessee start to play better and more consistently against this Kirby Smart defense, I'm just going to remain skeptical that they're going to be capable of making it an actual game. Tennessee's still a team that can get into the college football playoff, but with the history that they have against Georgia, even with Nico and the steps he's trying to make. I just think it's going to be really, really difficult.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be an interesting week. Connor, what concerns you about Florida? What's their key, you know, their go-to as far as what are they good at this year?
It's a team that is getting better and has done, I think, Billy Napier, for all that he's maybe been criticized for fairly, I might add. He's done a good job, I think, in elevating the talent and building this into an SEC program. I think just if you're a Georgia fan, you've been around this game long enough, weird things happen in Jacksonville. And so it's always, you know, and this is the both the beauty and the beast of college football, where you have these moments where you look like you're riding high and then you just get tripped up by a Florida team. Quite frankly, you're just better than Georgia. For all the talent that they've had in recent years and all the national titles, et cetera, they haven't beaten Florida four straight times going back to 1980 through 1983. And so these guys have a chance to do that this coming Saturday. This game does mean a lot to Kirby Smart just with his own personal history against Florida there. And so they know that they have to take care of business because, you know, Georgia fans know for so long where things happen in this rivalry game, certainly going back to the Mark Richt days there. And even some of the games, you know, 2020, the last game they lost there, that was a game where Georgia got out to a great start, up 14-0 early, and then the wheels just came all the way off in the second quarter there. So it's a game they know they have to be buttoned up and go out and win, even if Florida, you know, isn't on the same level of caliber as this Georgia team.
We're going to talk Falcons here in just a second. One last question about the cocktail party, Connor. A steady diet of Trevor Etienne against his old team?
I think we're going to see that. You know, against Texas, I know people wanted to see him play more. Georgia is a little banged up at running back right now. They don't necessarily have the depth there that they feel comfortable with. And so I think they're going to want to try and maybe manage Trevor's carries early in the game, especially if they get up early like they did against Texas. But I think Trevor, to his credit, he's been Georgia's offensive MVP so far this season, and I would expect him to have a big game on Saturday for Georgia.
Great stuff. Tell the people where they can follow your stuff at and where they can read you.
Yeah, if you guys can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorReilly. We've got a ton of stuff before the cocktail party this weekend. It's one of the best atmospheres in college football, and I look forward to that this coming Saturday.
Great stuff. Connor Reilly, appreciate you stopping by, man. Have fun.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Yeah, we're just talking about with Chris, you know, when Halloween comes on the weekend after the actual date for Halloween, do you still throw it out? In the old days of the landing, one of the funniest ones I ever saw, a costume, Carl, was a guy dressed up as Philip Fulmer.
Ah!
He had like a big orange pullover, and he had like a pillow underneath, and he had like Krispy Kremes like taped to the...
Oh, that's funny.
I thought I was clever.
It is. That's the thing, man. There's so many cool outfits and costumes out there. It's always a fun time of year. We're having a lot of fun. We're going to come back and tell you the moment yesterday everybody said, OMG. Next, where you said OMG.
I think I know what you're talking about.
It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, I want to take you back to camp. Because at camp, most of you kept saying, Dukes and Bell, what's Kirk Cousins look like? And we said, he's fine. He's going to be fine. He's moving around. And every time somebody got close to him, they blow the whistle. So we never really saw Kirk scramble for anything at camp, okay, because they weren't allowing it.
He did do under center stuff where he'd backpedal and hand off, but of course there's no one trying to put hands on him, to your point.
Red jersey. So, Mike, we get to the first game of the season, and we get that debacle where it looks like he's immobile and he can't do a damn thing. Fast forward to yesterday. Biggest play of the day was a 13-yard scramble by Kirk Cousins. And you talk about a moment where we needed a play and nobody expected it, which led you to say, oh my God, he's running?
Like, literally, shout out to Desiree, who was sitting next to me from Lithonia. No! She screams as Cousins starts to run. We're sitting four rows behind the Falcons bench. And, I'm like, literally, heart's in my throat. And you're like, oh, God, oh, God. And he just, it's like, it was like you could have played the Chariots of Fire theme. Bum, 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 bum. And he picks him up and puts him down. And we initially thought he made the first down. They review the mark, and they make it fourth and one. Then they do the quarterback sneak.
Oh, my God!
No! But I guess the Achilles, after looking, again, they were not ready for prime time in week one against Pittsburgh. I think we play that game, different circumstances now. But you're right, Carl. Coming off the safety, and then the Bucs have the touchdown, we're hemorrhaging. We had a missed field goal, right? We're leaking. So we needed to burn clock. We burned 5 minutes and 50 seconds, and it all got sustained by Kirk getting down the field. Now, unfortunately, Kuh missed another field goal.
Yeah.
But it's still something that...
Concern? Concern? It was,
well, you know...
Concern?
Two? One game? Two?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't like it. I didn't like it, and I'm saying this only... We trust Kuh. We know he'll clean it up, but, like, that was... That could have been the game, man. Like he had a chance to extend this thing twice, and it was like, eh. But the Cousins plays.
He's missed four on the season. We just expect him to make a 42-yard field goal.
Absolutely.
We've kind of gone down that road. But anyway, that aside, hopefully Koo tightens that up. But he did make a 49-yard field goal. So that was
the thing. Yeah. The 42-yarder, I was like, oh, this is a gimme. Now, none of them are gimmies, but I'm like, he can.
But he's missed four big kicks. His kicks have been these are big misses. It's one thing if you're winning by two touchdowns, you miss a field goal. These are momentum shifters, game losing kicks that he's missed.
Mike, if he hits that field goal and we're up eight, we're not worried about the Hail Mary at the end of the game.
And then Baker and those guys will have to go get the onside kick. Ain't gonna happen.
No.
But that's why the Kirk Cousins scramble, and I just think the reaction, and I said this to Carl.
OMG.
I mean, everybody and the defensive players on the bench were going they were losing their when this happened, going bananas.
It was great. And I think I can say that as a collective group, if you're a Falcon fan and you're watching that, that's exactly what you said, because it was so unexpected. And then the quarterback sneak, let's be honest, that was unexpected. Mm. You expected him to hand the ball to Tyler Algier and, hey, we're going to pick up a yard. Cousins is in there. I'm like, does he have the ball? And then I see guys pushing him in the back, and
it was a bit of a tush push. At least it looked like where I was sitting.
It was great. It's not outlawed, Mike, that you can't push those guys in the back.
Right.
404-726-0929. Okay, all of that led to ultimately, or should I say, when we went up two scores. Okay, in the third quarter, they try to run a fake punt.
That was ugly, and we sniffed it out immediately.
It was great. Great recognition on the special teams' behalf. But we go up two scores, and this was the score with Bijan Robinson where I felt like at this moment we're in total control. It's going to be 31-17, and I'm like, Mike, there's no way I feel like they can get back into this game. And what we didn't know is we're going to give up a safety and all of a sudden give them the ball back. But this right here was that moment.
Here's Cousins. Wants to throw, looks, now going to throw Robinson alone. He'll walk into the end zone. Oh, my goodness. Josh Hayes thought about darting in. Bijan comes to a complete stop, and it's the Atlanta touchdown.
Just beautiful. I mean, absolutely. I mean, there were so many cool elements of this game. Bijan looks great. And I heard Andy and Randy talking about it when I was driving to work today, and it's so true, Carl. Watching him, it's like ballet at times, the way he spins and cuts and makes guys look silly. That was great.
He's a bad boy, man. I mean, I said this. He had a really good rookie season. I think we took for granted because the season itself wasn't great. Mike, when you start looking at his numbers, look at the numbers. He's on pace to have a really good season this year. When you talk about running backs, listen, Henry's on another level. Saquon's revitalized with the Eagles. But if you're telling me right now that our guy, and I'm talking about, Bijan Robinson, and the impact he's having game in and game out, whether he's running the ball or catching the ball out of the backfield like he just did, Mike, already 546 yards. He's going to have 1,000-plus yards this year, and I think he's on pace for like 1,600.
This dude is everything now is when we talked about drafting him, where we drafted him. This is everything you wanted to see last year, and for whatever reason under Arthur Smith, whether it was some rookie fatigue or whatever, never got he was good, but this is everything you want to see. This is Pro Bowl level, to your point. Yeah, the only thing which went sideways is, and we mentioned earlier, we'll play some sound for you at 5 o'clock, hear what Coach had to say, but A.J. Terrell, I think his best pick, his best game, because he wasn't just making picks. He was hitting people.
He was.
He was up in run support. He was doing everything. But that interception was beautiful. Unfortunately, with the ball at the six, we couldn't really get the field thing going. Then Algier fumbles in the end zone. Luckily, we were able to swat it out of the end zone, so it's only 2 points.
Yeah, the safety, it could have changed the game. Again, the momentum, they come back down. They get a touchdown, and all of a sudden, it's a one-score game. But give credit where credit's due. This team has shown us now, and I asked this earlier, and you can hit us up at 404-726-0929. Follow Mike Bell ATL, put him up, see Dukes. What do you know about this team now? And Mike, if you ask me that right now, I would tell you late in games, they know or at least have found ways to win. Think about our schedule, whether it goes back to the Eagles, okay? Whether it goes back to the overtime win against the Bucks, whether it was this one where you're on the road. This is the one thing I feel like, okay, you know what? We don't get the number of sacks we want. Mm-hmm. There's some things that we are deficient in. But guess what? At the end of these games, man, we have a way to figure it out. And that hasn't always been the case.
Nope. As we said, we're the team which finds a way to lose the game the way the Eagles did, or find the way to lose the game the Bucs have done, if we're quite honest, the last two games against these guys. We're making things happen. We're playing clutch. The only thing missing, and we've talked about it for guys who just got in their car today and ladies, is the pass rush has got to get better. Now, we'll talk to Coach about it on Wednesday, but the only, if there is a cloud over this victory in Tampa, it was 50 pass attempts for Baker Mayfield and not one sack.
You'll hear from Kirk Cousins and Jesse Bates in less than 30 minutes. But right now, Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man. I didn't think it was that big a deal, but the easily offended were very offended about what Tom Brady had to say about Josh Allen. Stay tuned for that. And have you ever been in the back seat of a car which isn't being driven by the driver?
Okay, you could have stopped right there when you said, have you ever been in the back seat?
Hi-oh. No. Hey now. Hi-oh. No. We made love in my Chevy. No, we're not doing that. No, we had a driver pick us up after the Falcons-Bucks game, and I got to be honest, I was freaking the hell out in this Tesla. I got to tell you about this. It's on the way in Guy Talk. When a play is play. Hey, man, Hawks in action tonight, by the way, down there at State Farm Arena, man.
Yeah, Washington in town tonight. Is anybody going to get down there?
Hawks fever.
Catch it.
Well, I know the motorcade's going to be rolling over by a Georgia Tech. I heard Will Garris say in the traffic update, so plan accordingly. Maybe take MARTA. It's smarter.
It's true.
If you're heading down. By the way, because there were so many things going on this weekend in college, and, of course, the NFL, this NFL headlines were dominated by all these amazing finishes. But, yeah, I mean, the Hawks start off to a 2-1 start, and then in unrelated news, DeAndre Hunter's injured. Kind of like water's wet, and the sky is blue.
Did you say DeAndre Hunter?
That's Big Ten for him.
Yeah, they played well, actually, at OKC until they didn't. That was it. The score...
It escalated quickly.
It did, because they were playing pretty well, and then it got ugly, 128-104, but... are you asking me to respond to that?
I didn't work on anything.
That's it. We're not wishing it had injury. We're just, you know, it's just kind of par for the course. You're missing. If you had DeAndre Hunter playing all 82 games, moving on. I hear you. Well, you know. Yeah, man, the other thing from the weekend, good news for United fans. Now, hopefully they can extend this series because they did lose 2-1 the first leg against Inter Miami. Luis Suarez and Jordi Alba scored for Miami. Saba scored for for United. But they are going to have the full capacity for the next leg of the playoffs against Miami. They just announced today, Carl, that it's going to be the upper bowl will be open.
Oh!
And a full capacity, more than 67,000 folks. Inter Miami comes on Saturday to play United in the playoffs.
I'm glad it's official. We had talked about it. This only makes sense. I mean, we are talking about the playoffs. Playoffs!
Playoffs!
So this makes total sense. Hopefully the crowd can be a big factor in this match, Mike.
Right on. Went to the Falcons-Bucks, told Carl earlier. I don't know how I got these seats. Just lucked out because I got it through Ticketmaster. And I guess the dude, whoever it was, just didn't get with the program. Because, you know, usually, you know when you're looking at StubHub and some of the websites, they'll say, oh, this is a steal.
Sure.
You know, it's value. Got these two great seats. Best seats I ever had for a football game. I can't lie to you. The photos are up there. Mike Bell, ATL. Turtle, I mean, I can't wait to show the pictures of Rob. I'm like, hey, look, Rob, I took this photo of you, and we see him on Wednesday. But the photos were, I mean, the people were great. There was a bunch of Falcon fans, and we were having some fun. It was mostly good-natured ball-busting between the Bucs fans and Tampa Bay, but what an exciting game. After the game, me and the dude, my buddy, my best bud, we were getting out of there, so we get an Uber to head down to downtown Tampa in the Harbor Island area. So the guy shows up, and he's part Jamaican and great, really sweet guy, and he's literally going to be He goes, have you been in a Tesla before? But nope. And he's talking to me. So we're on Dale Mabry, you know, the big road with all the traffic. And he's turning around and he's talking to me and the dude. I'm like, dude, the road. He goes, no, it's a Tesla.
Drives itself.
Freaked me out. Yeah. Later on, we get on the interstate. To get on, was it 285, 275 up there, down there. And he's taking his ramp and he's looking at me. And there's merging cars. And Scott's laughing because I guess Scott's been in cars. We know he's been in the Tesla where it's got the automated thing going on. Wild. And then, I mean, like for many of you in the audience, maybe you've already done this. It was my first experience with it. But coming up at a crosswalk and there were people and the car senses it was unbelievable.
It is. And it does freak you out. Oren, you may know this because it was on Netflix, the movie End of the World or something like that, where these Teslas are crashing into each other. Have you seen this movie?
The one. It was on. What was the name of it?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I didn't see the movie, but I know. Yeah, the fact that they just like the automatic driving, whatever. Yeah.
The family rents the house. It's a VRBO, and it's basically the end of the world. All hell breaks loose, and there's
they Teslas, don't know what's going on.
I guess satellites, and they lose
leave
contact.
Leave the world
and,
behind.
Thank you.
Leave the world behind.
All the GPS. Start failing.
Correct.
Right.
And so, but the fact is, like, after that came out, people were freaking out because, like, I could see that. The fact that there are people, Mike, seriously, and I'm not comfortable with it, but I know Tesla owners who are like, it's no big deal. It drives itself.
They swear by them.
They do. I'm not comfortable with it, but it will freak you out because we're so used to put your hands on the wheel. You know what I mean?
I like to drive. I mean, nobody likes to sit in traffic for an hour, and if we didn't have traffic, we wouldn't have you guys listening to us. But it is, you know, I enjoy driving. I've always been a guy that likes to get behind the wheel. But, yeah, this was so wild. It was surreal. And the dude was funny as hell, and he loves his Tesla. He's raving about it, and he's got a new one on order, and he drives Uber part-time, keep busy. He's, you know, I drive my wife crazy. He says, get out of the house. So he's driving Uber. But anyway, shout out to Jay because he was a real
What's he do that he has two Teslas?
No, he's got another one coming. He's retired. He was a professor. He's a
two Tesla life. That's not bad.
So he's apparently loving life. I mean, and living the Florida man dream down there. Apparently, he's making enough coin.
These Uber hours are good, I guess.
I guess so.
Yeah. But it was service prices hitting right, huh?
I gave him a hell of a tip. Oh, it was. I mean, no joke. After a football game at Raymond James, you can imagine.
Jack rates.
You ain't lying.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, real quick, a lot of food, a lot of seafood. Seafood, eat it, literally. Charbroiled oysters like we always love in New Orleans. That was a big thing this weekend. Yeah, South African lobster tails.
Really?
Man, was that good.
Okay.
Yeah. Real sweet. I mean, and it was funny because the bartender were at Ocean Prime, and he goes, what do you have? And I go, diplomatic immunity. And he paused. He goes, oh, you want the lobster tails? I'm like, oh, not the first. You're always disappointed when you do a joke and you think maybe no one's ever heard it.
And somebody gets it.
He goes, oh, I get it. South African lobster tails. Hearty har har. Like Lethal Weapon 2.
The thing is, too, before you said that, you said South American lobster tails. I turned to Chris. You know what I said?
Diplomatic immunity.
So you said it.
My boy was crying, laughing. I was like, all right, I guess he's heard that one before. Hey, this one, I didn't think this was that out of line. We're actually looking to hear Tom Brady say something relatively interesting. And once again, Tom, if you didn't hear the podcast he did last week, he goes, you know, he thinks he's getting stuck with some crappy games. Well, he had another one. Josh Allen and Bills, as Carl and I mentioned in the NFL Blitz, went to travel to Seattle.
Yeah.
And the game was terrible and very one-sided. But while discussing the Buffalo Bills and talking about Josh Allen, sometimes Josh gets amped up and in the past has turned the ball over in the red zone, done some crazy things. Would you have a problem with this? Brady's quote, sometimes he played like a spaz, like a grade schooler on a sugar high, but now he's controlled the chaos. He's like a storm coming into town, and you don't want that storm coming into this town.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong. People get offended. There's some people that wake up every day in this country just looking to be offended, right? He said spaz. Okay, I think we can't say spaz in a broadcast.
No, of course you can't.
So now people are freaking out about that.
No, and by the way, Brady was talking too, if I remember the context, about when he played against him just a few years ago.
As a younger player.
Yes, and how he's matured. So he was trying to put that in. I mean, again, the full context of that is what I see now with Josh Allen versus what I saw when he came into the league and I was playing with him or playing against him is a totally different guy. I had no issues with it.
So anyway, that's the latest thing that people are upset about. And, you know, it just there's certain things that if you just roll with it, is that worth really going? Let me get. They should fire Tom Brady. He's at spaz, okay? A sugar high is kind of a funny line. Hey, Lane Kiffin.
I have one right now.
Lane Kiffin using his. What are you drinking today, by the way?
No, nothing. This is water, but I'm saying, like, usually I'm on a sugar high, usually.
It's funny because I've told you, there's times, and sometimes I look at Carl and go, man, you're really feeling it today. Because like, what do you mean? When you do those monsters, man.
Yeah, I got to stay away from those. I'll tell you what I've been. Chris, what's the. What's that energy drink we were talking about a few weeks back? I've been trying that. It's the
Celsius?
Celsius, thank you. Yeah.
I thought that has booze in it.
I'm sorry?
That's not have booze
well,
in
that
it.
Well, that might explain it then.
Oh, there's something else. That's another one of those flavored seltzers.
Yeah. Ironically, this came up today of all the days because we have a fridge stocked with Red Bull outside in the newsroom.
Really?
Yeah, one of our good salespeople inked some sort of deal, and we got a bunch of free Red Bull.
I'm still old school. I'm still Red Bull.
Red Bull's great. But yeah, I tried that sales. That's what I've been on lately. Yeah. Right.
Well, good. You can always tell when Carl's got an injury because he really talks like this. If you're very intense, Lane Kiffin at his weekly press conference, using his platform to explain, just a little bit of displeasure with SEC schedule makers. He says, quote, LSU gets to play at night again, I guess. Shocker. That's two for them. I feel bad for our fans not having one night conference game.
Wow.
So, yeah, well, you got to put it out there, right? Let them know. I mean, it's funny for Georgia fans. Georgia, we feel Tennessee's going to be a night game. It's just a different energy.
It is.
It just hits differently.
Well, you get to drink all day, let's be honest.
That's true.
The night games, that's why they're different. But, yeah, Georgia's what, 3:30 is normal, right? 3:30 right. Florida, Georgia. Plus, let's be honest. If I'm LSU, I want all my games at night, Mike.
Right.
If I'm LSU at home, if I could, I'd have all my games
still,
at night.
I mean, we always talk about, you know, Auburn's great, and, you know, when Tennessee's got it cooking, Georgia's always got great energy. But that's still, being in that version of Death Valley is just the greatest night game I've ever been to. Just nuts. Guys, a couple of guys hit us up on Twitter about Tesla. Say Tesla also needs to update like computers and phones do. I don't know. I can't
they
speak
do.
To that. But I've never had one. But
they do.
So you have to do like an upgrade or upload.
No, it happens just like your phone.
Okay,
it just comes over the air and loop, loop, and happens.
All right. And hey, last nugget here before we get to the Falcon Report. Guess who's 1-7 for the first time since 1974?
Who?
Florida State.
You really gonna go there?
Yep. I got to tell you. It's, you know, it is kind of a relief, though, when you don't have to stress out over your team, when there's really no, really, Carl, there's no concern whatsoever that you're ever going to be in a game that's going to be close enough to be nervous about.
Yes, I get that.
You know, it's kind of it's a different kind of year than last year.
Okay, but here's the deal, Mike. In these kind of years, after you
run the ball.
Thank you, Coach. Yeah. Coach Key. You were so good.
Yes.
Last year.
Yes.
And now you're so bad. You're going to tell me this isn't going to affect recruiting?
Yes. Mike Norvell, he's trying to explain all this. He literally looks like a lost puppy. He's got this glazed over look in his eyes if you didn't see some of the memes from the Miami game. But anyway, that's old news. Hey, man, that's your Falcons report is coming up. That's your Guy Talk brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man.
Yeah, it was tough to watch that game. I thought it would be more Miami.
It wasn't as bad as it could have been, I suppose.
Yeah, they hung. Hey, coming up, I'll tell you who didn't hang. Those Buccaneers, we've won 4 or 5. We're going to hear from our quarterback coming up. Jesse Bates came up big. You'll hear from him as well. Hey, guys, we are in total control of this division right now, and it feels good on a Falcon Monday at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mm.